Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Else you may have your seats. Hallelujah. All right, listen. Those of you that don't know H4G, we just started, we announced it last week, that we are having a book, our very first book club, where we're going to take time to read through a book together. And I just wanted to personally encourage you guys to get in on this, because one of the books that they're reading this month is my personally all-time favorite book. My ultimately, besides the Bible, of course, my favorite book is called When Heaven Invades Earth by an author named Bill Johnson. And this book, I remember like it was yesterday when I read it and what it did to me. I was on a train reading it and I was crying. I was bawling. Because, not because the book convicted me or made me sad, but because it showed me how much was possible in the Christian life that I was not yet experiencing. You ever got so angry with where you were in life? Not because you weren't doing anything wrong, but you just know that there was something more. There's more for you. And that's what this book did to me. It just created in me a whirlwind of hunger. I just wanted to experience more of God. And I believe that this book will also set you on fire. And this book will cause you to have a deeper hunger for God. And not only that, it will open you up to a new reality in God. Boring Christianity is overrated. You should not be bored in your Christian walk. Boredom is not a fruit of the Spirit. He said it's love, it's joy, it's peace. Amen. And I'll add excitement. You know, enthusiasm is one of the greatest signs you know you're in God. David said, Lord, cast me not away from your Spirit and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of my salvation. Which means that David knew when his joy was leaving, he knew his salvation was in jeopardy. When you lose joy in your Christian walk, you immediately eliminate one-third of the kingdom, because the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in your life. Come on. We need to know how to have joy and how to rejoice in the Lord always, and it comes with having a supernatural perspective of who you are in Christ. This book is going to help you get that. Amen. So after service, we want to take a list of everybody that's deciding to get on a book club, is going to read this together. And at the end of the month, we're going to have one big get together. We're going to talk through the book and discuss it. All right. And then each month, we're going to do something else after that. Amen. When Heaven Invades Earth by Bill Johnson. All right. Let's jump into the word. It's not like it's my book, right? Like I'm pushing my book. That's how much I love it. All right, let's jump into the word real fast, and we're gonna transition. Let's open up to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we're in our This Is Revival series. Listen, if you were not here last week, I want you to go back and listen to the recording. We were talking about what revival is and what revival looks like, and I talked about how revival is simply the Lord's Prayer coming into real life. You know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Revival is a word that you may hear in church. You don't really hear it outside of church, but you hear it in the church specifically. And it's usually an event. Like there's a revival service happening. And so you might have 3 days of revival or 1 week of revival. But then after those 3 days of that week is over, the revival is over. When you read the book of Acts, revival was not just something that was a sporadic event, but it was a lifestyle. These believers brought revival wherever they went. They brought the manifest presence of God. Heaven was on earth. When people came around believers, miracles happened, healings happened, signs and wonders happened, all right? That is normal Christianity. That's not the exception. That's the standard. And what we're aggressively pursuing as a house is that we want that to become our norm. We want healing supernaturally to become the norm, so much so that this would be a cancer-free zone. Now, when people walk in this place sick, they're going to leave this place healed. Amen? We want to create this place into an ecosystem or an environment whereas it's a sustainable reality. It's a constant flow that miracles won't be sporadic. It'll be normal. Come on. That's the type of mindset we want to have. And the Bible says that we need to allow our minds to be renewed. Right? He said that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So if God says don't be conformed to this world, then that means there's another world that we can live from. So don't be conformed, don't be molded or fit into this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And therefore, if we can be transformed by our minds being renewed, then that means there's no limits to how much our minds can be renewed, and there's no limits to how much we can be transformed. See, if we need to be transformed, that means our minds is not working properly yet. If we need to be renewed in our thinking, our mind isn't operating the way it needs to be. And one of the clearest ways that you know your mind has been renewed is that the impossible becomes logical to you. You see, when you see situations that seem to be impossible, the believer whose mind is renewed shouldn't have the same limitations that the world has. Come on, there should be a standard that separates us from the rest of the world. So I shouldn't be looking at the circumstances on TV and arrive to the same conclusions as the sinner. I should have hope. I should have faith. I should have a faith that is so peculiar, that's so mysterious and so intriguing that when people hear my perspective, they're like, what are you talking about? How are you thinking that way? And that's because the Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of you, and he's creating in you new possibilities. And that's why, as a believer, hope is our greatest resource. Because when everybody else sees fear, and everybody else sees just injustice, and everybody else sees like everything is going wrong, we have a hope that allows us to know that we are overcoming even in the midst of this. And it's not just a fairy tale. This is a reality because Christ overcame the world. So when we talk about what are we renewing our minds with? We're renewing our minds with what Jesus told us to pray. He said to pray that things would be in earth as it is in heaven. And that's not one day when you die. He's talking about right now. Come on. That's what he said. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Repent means to change your way of thinking or renew your mind. Change the way you think because heaven is available. If you don't believe heaven is at hand or the kingdom is an available reality to you, you will be stuck, bound, oppressed by the same things everybody else in the world is oppressed by. You will no longer be salt and light. You'll be that salt that loses its flavor. And once your salt loses its flavor, the Bible says you're good for nothing and you will be trampled on. When you lose your flavor, you're no longer relevant. What's the point of salt with no flavor? Right? And salt is given to preserve, right? Primarily. It gives flavor, but salt is designed to preserve. It's designed to keep. Before there was refrigerators, there was salt. All right? And salt was put on food to sustain it, to preserve it. And our responsibility as believers is to carry the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit and in such a way that it becomes attractive to people who are in a world where there's corruption and decay. We're the ones that's adding flavor and preservation. Right? And we have a perspective that people hear from us. They can taste salt and they can see light, that the Lord is good. So you provide them all a taste and see experience where we know we're salt and we're light. And what are we pointing them to? That God is good. That's the good news. And because he's good, his goodness is able to lead others to repentance. We've been trying to scare people into heaven. No, God said my goodness will lead people to repentance. And when people repent, they'll enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. How good is God? How good is he? His goodness, how good is he? When Jesus came to the earth, man, people were paralyzed for 20 years. And Jesus walks next to them and they get healed instantly. See, when we talk about good, we're not just talking about this moral goodness, like good behavior. When we talk about the goodness of God, we're talking about the power of God. Goodness is powerful. Goodness brings justice in people's lives. Acts 10:38, the Bible says, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power to do good. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power to do good. So he was anointed supernaturally, and that was the goodness that Jesus displayed. So the type of goodness, the Bible says, he anointed him to do good, to heal, we didn't get to that, right? Acts 10:38. He's anointed to do good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So if people still walk around with this idea that God makes people sick. So if Jesus was healing everybody, but God is making people sick, then obviously they couldn't be on the same team. God cannot be making people sick and Jesus is healing everybody who's oppressed. Right? A house divided cannot stand. So no, the devil is bad. God is good. God doesn't bring anything bad on people. The devil does that. He steals, he kills, and destroys. I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Come on. So now Jesus comes. He's healing up there. He's healing people. He's setting people free from their dilemmas, from their circumstances that they couldn't get free from by any other means. Here comes Jesus, anointed with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit, and had a mindset that set him apart from everyone else. See, one of the reasons why we don't see more revival is because we don't allow our minds to be renewed. We repent enough to get saved, but we don't repent enough to bring heaven. So we don't change, we just believe enough to get saved, right? But when we also, when we see impossibilities, come on, we're supposed to say, my God can solve that. My God can fix that. And we are supposed to have this hunger and this appetite to invade the impossibilities of life and bring the kingdom there. That's your job as a believer. That's why you're still here. If God wanted you in heaven, you would have got to heaven the day you got saved. Somebody said all you would have needed were evangelists and assassins. You get saved and somebody will shoot you and you go to heaven. That's not the goal. The goal is that we're bringing heaven to earth. The Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. We're inheriting this place. This is our planet. Not the devil's. It's ours. Amen? And it's time. He said, the Bible says, whatever the soles of your feet tread upon, I will give it to you. Belongs to you. Come on. So what revival leads to, which is what I'm supposed to talk about, revival leads to reformation. Amen? Write that down. Revival leads to reformation. Reformation is the transformation of culture, transformation of society. Mark 6, somebody said we didn't read any verses, so let me just read one for you, and I'll give you the ending, the rest of the notes. Mark 6, verse 53, the Bible says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, talking about Jesus, ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Verse 56, wherever he entered, you got to catch this, wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. I don't have time to break this down like I would like to, but the main thing we see here is that the people knew who Jesus was. Revival was breaking out. Before that, he fed 5,000. Chapter same, a few verses before that, he walked on water. All right, supernatural stuff was happening. Heaven was at hand. Heaven was breaking out. And remember, Jesus is not the exception. He's the norm, okay? He said, greater works than these you shall do. All right? So that's the type of mentality we're renewing our minds with, that nothing is impossible. And all he was doing was getting people to change their perspective or change the way they think about God. Because people didn't believe that God can heal, God can save, God can do what he used to do. And so he was renewing people's minds and showing them the possibilities of what will happen if you bring God back into your lives. Our country today needs to know that God's ways is better than their ways. Right? People, families, our education system, we've spent the last 40 years watching our country move away from God's word and God's principles and God's standards. Where prayer was allowed in school, now it's not. They want to, they put in God we trust on money, now they want to take it out. All right, the world is going to see what happens when you remove God from life. It sucks, all right? There will be calamity, there will be chaos, there will be peril, because life was never designed to function outside of him. All right, so what we're here to do as Salt and Light is to remind people, listen, this is the reality we live in. You can be in this world, but not of it. Do you know that? So although all the world is doing what they're doing, you can still live under the shadow of the Almighty. You can still live in this world and not be victimized by what the rest of the world has to go through. We see that in the Old Testament, right? Egypt was going through plague after plague, but the people of Israel were safe and sound. They were in Egypt, but not of it. We are in this world, but not of it. You are not a victim of what the rest of the world is. Once you are in Christ, you are an overcomer. Come on. And the Bible says, darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness to people, but the glory will rise on you. Hallelujah. I really believe we're coming to a day and age where God is saying, listen, just like Elijah, remember Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal? You guys remember that story? They were saying, our God is more powerful than your God. God said, well, Elijah said, well, let's prove it. We set an altar. Let's see if your God can set this sacrifice on fire. Hallelujah. Elijah goes and lets them go first. And the people are doing their chants and they're doing their incantations and they're trying to call on their gods, their false gods, to get something to happen, and nothing is happening. And Elijah's sitting there in the midst of devil worshipers. Their power and their authority had no basis to operate amongst him, because the God he served was that much more powerful. You see, the devil can give you his best shot, but it means nothing if you know who you are in Christ. Greater is he that lives in me than he that is in this world. Come on. Those are the things you got to walk with and renew your mind with. See, you renew your mind. Elijah sat there and asked, are y'all finished or are y'all done? He let them go, nothing happened. Elijah calls on fire, wets the sacrifice, calls fire down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice. All of them began to realize that the God he served was the one true God. And then on top of that, Elijah takes up his sword and kills them. Because he had permission to do that in the Old Testament. We don't got permission to do that today. But the point is, Elijah proved that his power was greater than theirs. This is a day and hour where God wants us to prove. That's why your mind is renewed, by the way, so that you can prove the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. If you can't prove anything, you gotta renew your mind some more. Come on, God wants you to prove he's a healer. Somebody sick, lay hands on them and prove that he's a healer. Come on, that's what we need to do, church. Somebody said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to pay my rent. I don't know where the money is coming. So I'll pray with you for the next 5 days and watch that money come. You got to declare those things. Jesus said, if I don't do the works, don't believe me. That's the things we got to declare today. But as we wrap up, this is what he said. He said in Mark 6, Jesus comes to this city, and then as a result of coming to the city, he's bringing revival with him. And guess what? He didn't just go to the churches. Bible says he went into the villages, the cities, the country, and then they laid their sick in the marketplaces, the places where people did business, stopped because Jesus was there. Come on, we can bring the kingdom wherever we go. It's not just what we do in church. It's what we can bring wherever we go. You can bring the kingdom to your school. You can bring the kingdom to your job. You just have to be willing to prove it, take some risks. But you gotta be willing to, how can I say it? Lose your job if it happens. It's quiet. Why? Because if you're not willing to lay down your life, if you're not willing to lay down your life, you ain't going to be able to prove nothing. If Elijah didn't, if that fire didn't come down, all 455 of those prophets would have killed Elijah. But he was willing to take the risk. And that's one of the things we're going to preach about later in the series, is about risk. It's important that you're willing to take the risk. But you got to be willing to lay down your life, even if it costs. I pray for people teaching. I mean pray. Deliverance, healing, all that happened. It didn't happen in the middle of class. It happened in my office or in the middle, you know, after the class. But people who were sick, one girl was having an asthma attack. Didn't have her pump. Didn't even tell me she had asthma. She would have probably died in my classroom. But the devil is a lie. So I do what I do. I don't got no asthma pump, but I got access to the God who created breath. And so she was on that floor, pink, and gasping for air. I told her friend, get some water, so she didn't see what I was going to do. Put my hand on her chest and on her shoulder, and I just commanded her life back into her, commanded the asthma to go. By the time her friend came back with that water, she was breathing fine, didn't have to call the ambulance. I brought the kingdom there. The main thing I wanted to show you guys is this. When we bring reformation to the culture, see, reformation is about not just transforming people, it's about transforming culture. It's about transforming nations. It's transforming the way people think. Mentalities need to be broken, okay? People have made mental agreements with the spirit of hopelessness and depression and injustice, and you're the one that comes and say, no, that's not the only way. There is a way that's higher than this. Come on, we have access to a world that's beyond this world. It's called the kingdom of God. And once you begin to change people's mentalities, their attitudes change. Come on, their faith and expectation changes. And once that happens, the world becomes larger and larger. Come on, capacity is stretched because now we're able to see a God-sized vision for our lives and not just a human-sized vision. Jesus said, I'm going to come into the marketplaces and I'm going to bring transformation. So there are seven systems that God wants to invade, that he wants us to bring the kingdom to. And this is when we're going to see the kingdom of God truly transform nations. And this is when we're going to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. That's what's going to happen before Christ comes back. Do you know that? That there are going to be nations that are discipled by God, that are discipled by us. Nations. He said, go into all the world, disciple nations. Jesus was tempted by Satan and when he was in the wilderness. You remember that? And then he said, Satan said, the last temptation Satan gave him was, I will give you all these kingdoms and his glory if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus could not have been tempted with something he didn't want. You're only tempted with something you really want. That's a desire. And so the kingdoms and this glory is something that Jesus came for. And while now he has all authority and all power, he said that I'm going to raise you up, the church, to be the instruments in which I'm going to allow nations to be discipled through. So we got to have a mindset where we recognize that reformation is on God's heart. Revival is not just for us. It starts with the church, but it's supposed to lead to reformation in the world. Amen? Here are the seven systems that God wants us to bring heaven to, bring the kingdom of God to. I want you guys to write this down. To disciple nations, we need to influence seven major systems, seven major sectors or channels or divisions of society. Number one, the education system. We need the wisdom of God to penetrate the education system. Number two, arts and media. God needs believers in these fields. He needs believers who are not just average, but excellent at what they do. God needs us to have excellent spirit like Daniel did and the three Hebrew boys did. They had an excellent spirit and they served well. And by serving well, they were able to influence the kings of those regions. That's what God wants for us to have, what God wants us to have. He wants us to influence government. the government system or the government mountain. These are the seven systems that that nations are built around. Number four, family. The family mountain, the family system. All right? God wants us to be able to influence and impact our families through our parenting styles. God, do you know that as believers, we should have a parenting style that's superior than the world? And we can raise up world changers in our homes by teaching them nothing is impossible and that miracles happen? Come on. These are the things we got to disciple our children with. Number five, business and economics. God wants to give us business strategies. And there's a strong thrust for a business anointing, Joseph anointings, that's on the church today. God is looking for more people who are going to take business and actually think like Jesus and be about their father's business, right? And actually be able to partner with God economically. Number six, religion. Religion is an entire mountain in and of itself. It might be the actually one of the most important mountains, because religion is actually the place where you influence all the other mountains. That's why if you ever realized, people who become very successful at some point in their lives, they all point and look for a religion to believe in. Even if they didn't believe in anything. 20 years ago, Oprah wasn't talking about God as much as she's talking about now. Steve Jobs at the point of his death, right? Buddhist. All these people look for something greater when they reach a certain level of success because they understand the power of faith and the spirit realm and how it influences life. And lastly, number seven, science and technology. God needs people who are going to maximize technology and use it for his glory. See, when you understand that God wants us all to be on mission with him, we can co-labor with God and partner with him and be able to bring the kingdom of God wherever we go, in the marketplaces as well as in the church. Amen? And this teaching is just simply an introduction as to having you to begin to lend or give your imagination over to God and say, hey, God, how can you use me where I am right now? The job that I'm in, the place that I work, how can I bring the kingdom there? That's what I want you to begin to think through and begin to process with God. If you're a student, how can I influence my friends with the kingdom of God? You guys see this? That's how Reformation happens, when we begin to partner with God to bring heaven to earth wherever we go. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Today is a unique day because one of the things we're going to do at the close of our service, we're going to rally up as a church and rally up as a community. If you're a guest, if you're here for the first time, we're going to ask you to join us. But today we specifically have stated that after our service is over, we want to go outside and we want to actually pray through our community. We want to actually walk around this block and just begin to pray and make declarations. Reason being, I didn't know there was going to be two shootings last week, right? We closed off, we talked about last week's message, how the times today mirror the 60s. We talked about that. And I heard about four different people tell me last week, that this feels just like the 60s. The protesting and the rioting, and I mean not rioting, but just the tension in the air and of the injustice that's happening. But listen, God is up to something. God is doing something.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.